Welcome to the Raising Confident Girls podcast, your guide to raising strong, confident daughters. I'm Melissa Jones, the founder of Girls Positivity Club and a teacher for over 20 years. In a world where girls often feel overwhelmed, anxious, and confused, this podcast is your go-to space. As caregivers, we navigate challenges together. I founded Girls Positivity Club to provide a place where you belong and get the tools to face today's hurdles. Consider this your regular check-in with a trusted friend, offering insights and practical tips for meaningful conversations. I'm here to help you feel confident on this journey of raising a generation of empowered girls. Let's dive in and raise those confident girls together. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Raising Confident Girls. I'm so happy you're here. And I'm especially excited today because this episode is from a mom in our community who reached out to me after I sent the podcast email and said this was an idea that she wanted me to talk about on the podcast. So it is about having an introverted or very shy daughter. So the question is, should you be worried if you have an introverted or very shy daughter? And how do you help them not be stuck in that identity of just saying like, oh, this is who I am, and I'm just this way. This is the way it is, like helping them grow. And I think in this case in particular, and I've had several cases before too, where the mom is opposite of the daughter. So I think this is really hard to understand when you are not an introvert. So I think introverts understand each other. I think it's much harder when you have an extroverted daughter and you're an introvert, or vice versa. You have an introverted daughter and you're very extroverted. So obviously there are other in the middle examples too, but this was the case in this situation. I had a mom one time who told me a few years back, I worked with her daughter one-on-one, and she was like, you know, I know she's struggling socially because she gets anxiety when she is around a big group. She doesn't know what to say, you know, all these things. And she's like, I just don't get it. She's like, I was never like this. I've never had a problem talking to someone. I've always been told, you don't know a stranger. And this is what the mom told me. And she's like, it's so easy for me to talk to people. And I don't even know why. I think I was born this way. But my daughter, it's painfully hard for her. And I don't know what to say to her besides, just talk to more people. Just smile more. Just do this. Just do that. And she's like, it doesn't work. I've tried that. And she doesn't do it. And there's something about it that can cause this conflict or this tension between parents and caregivers of the girl, because it's like she feels such pressure to be someone who she's not. And that's where I think the danger lies, in making them feel like they're not enough being who they are. And I don't think ever parents have the intention of making their kids feel bad. I think they want to help them. And sometimes in our frustration, we say things we shouldn't, or we're like, why can't you just speak up? Or just say this. And then the girl's like, I can't. And then the parent's like, why not? You know, it's, you just say it like this. And then there's a door slam and there's, you know, whatever. And then you're left there standing like, oh my gosh, I didn't expect for this to turn into a big argument. I just wanted to help her. And now I've created this tension around it. Or there's pressure. You know, I've heard from girls, like I had a girl one time who had social mutism, where she didn't, she chose in public, or she felt frozen in public, to go mute. And she even had a hard time saying hello to people. And the parents were like, we don't know what to do. Now it's affecting our family. You know, she's wants to be in her room all the time, and we have lost connection with her. And like, we really need help with this. So I worked with her on it. And what I ended up having her talk about to get her to open up and find common ground is TV. She started telling me about a TV show that she really liked, and a series, and all the characters and everything. And literally, she talked my ear off. So we use that as a connection piece. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to have an outside person because we're not the child's parent. You know, I wasn't her mom. I wasn't her dad. And that was safer for her to talk to me about that. And then, you know, then I could help the parents in knowing how to start it. Like ask her what her TV show is, you know, ask her about the characters, watch it with her, start with something where you can bond and then work into, you know, how are your friendships going? How are things going? You might get a fine or mom, I don't want to talk about this, but you know, at least that would get you talking to her about just her life and then leading into other things. But I think really coming back to why do parents worry about this? Well, I think we often think in future thinking, we can envision the person who is isolated, who lives alone, who is in the dark, doesn't have friends, doesn't have anyone around them. And that seems like a really sad life. And no one wants that for their kids as they grow up. We want them to have, you know, a happy life. We want them to have good relationships, all those things. And the reality is, you know, they are going to have challenges and we have to help them through this while they're growing up. And especially when I was a teacher, because I was a classroom teacher, if you didn't know that, for over 23 years, what I would hear a lot of times from parents who were worried about this was they wondered if their child or their daughter would sit alone at recess. And sometimes I said yes. And they were like, oh my gosh, what do we do? Like, how do we get her to talk to people at recess and to have more friends and this and that? And there's like this panic in their voice. And it's like, well, it's okay. I mean, if they're sad about it and they don't know how to make friends, you know, that was my job, is to check in with the person and see, like, do they want to be more social? Or are they just not sure how to do it? And then I would help give them the language to know what to say. But sometimes, and I think of this one girl in particular, she used recess as a reset for her. She needed alone time at recess. Whereas I think there's like just a misconception about recess being this social interaction time. And yes, it can be, and it should be for some kids. I also think it can be a time to run around and get that energy out that they need to, but some kids don't like to do that. So recess can be things for different kids. For some kids, they need alone time. And I know that sounds counterintuitive and like that's not what recess is. Recess is supposed to be a time to be social and talk all you want because you can't talk as much as in class. And for some kids, they count on the classroom for that structured way to talk, and then they need their own alone time. So this would be, in this case, this girl would read a book and sketch in her notebook because she was a very talented artist. And she just used this time. I mean, think about it. She had no time to sketch during the day. And yes, she could do it at home, but she it was her favorite thing and she just loved doing it. It was her self-expression. It was her outlet. It was her just everything. And so for her to be able to sketch and lay out all of her colored pencils and all of that was like a big deal. And kids would check in with her. You know, they'd say hi and they'd watch her draw for a little bit or things, but it's also okay that she used that as a reset because then she could go back in. Because I think when you're introverted, it takes a lot of energy for you to go in a social setting to, and I think it's surprising some people who are introverted, but they have extroverted roles. So like this could be a teacher who is very extroverted in the classroom and like very social in that way in her job, or it could be a TV personality, or it could be a speaker, or it could be a number of things, could be a CEO, could be a customer service person, an HR person. These people can be introverted, but in their role, they have to be extroverted. So it's like they get that need met by performing in a way, and then they really prefer to be alone any other time. So maybe they even love what they do. I've heard this from a lot of TV personalities, a lot of TV anchors. I have done quite a bit of TV and that's come up before where they say, like, I'm so introverted outside of this, you know, because maybe I made a comment about, I love how enthusiastic you are. Like, I love that you, you know, you're so fun, your personality and everything. Like, yeah, but at home, I am just by myself. I prefer that, you know, I need that time. So it's like, oh yeah, that was a good insight, you know, to think about. And then, you know, this particular person told me that she's like, yeah, I'm this way as my job, but I need that reset time. And it doesn't mean that I don't interact at all at home. I just need like my own quiet time in order for me to do this job. So I thought that was a cool insight about that. So you might be thinking, okay, that's all well and great, Melissa, what do I do? So what I want you to think about is baby steps. So someone who's naturally really shy or introverted, they are going to feel super bombarded by you forcing her to be the complete opposite or asking these big asks, like talk to 10 people today. Oh my gosh, to an introvert, that's like a nightmare. So doing baby steps, maybe it's talking to one person, you know, to start if she wants to improve this, especially. And it's like, yeah, I do want friends. I just don't know really how to do it, or I don't know how to get it started, or whatever the case would be. Maybe she's in a new setting. Maybe she's going to a new school and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the new kid. I'm already shy. I'm already introverted. I don't want to be alone all the time. I want to have a couple of close friends. How do I meet people? So there are some ideas I have. So I like to use acronyms because it's easy to remember. So I came up with an acronym called MAPS. So these are possible things that you could do with your daughter. These are things you can present to her, work through with her. So if you think of a map, it leads you to where you want to go. So first have a conversation with her. Where does she want to go in this? Does she want to make one or two friends? Does she want to just be more comfortable in a new setting? What is it that she wants? So ask her. Don't assume that she wants to be the life of the party, because that's oftentimes with introverts, again, that's like their worst nightmare. That's something they don't want. So ask her, what would you like in your new school? Do you want to meet like one or two nice girls? Do you want to meet some people in an art class? Like, what do you envision? What do you think? And she might say, I don't know. And that's okay too, but just being like, okay, well, let's talk about it a little bit because I want to support you through this. So always making it a supportive conversation. So MAPS, the M is modeling that communication and conversation. So this could be in a setting that's very neutral, like a restaurant or a store, and showing her how to strike up a conversation with someone. So this could be making an observation like, oh, I can't believe it's raining again today. Now, it doesn't mean you have to teach her all meaningless small talk, but sometimes these are ways to show her how to get something going. So this could be like with a cashier or with a server, if you're at a restaurant or something, just making a comment like, how was your day today? Or I can't believe it's raining again. You know, I was so soaked. And then the person will normally comment back something. So it's like having a quick exchange and showing her how simple it can be, not easy necessarily for her, but how simple it can be, like making an observation about something and, oh my gosh, it smells so good in here. Like in the environment, the bread smells so good. Is that cinnamon I smell? And then that's getting them to talk about, oh, that's actually our special cinnamon chocolate chunk glaze, blah, blah, blah. And then they're talking about the food there. So it's very low risk because your daughter isn't going to care whether or not you're friends with the person who's working there, but it's showing her how to get something going. And then encouraging her to do that too. Like, would you like to try when we go to the store next time to say something to the cashier? And she might be like, no, that's a nightmare. Never. And then just be like, well, I'm going to show you how it can sound. That way we can talk about it later. And, you know, eventually maybe you can move up to that. So, you know, modeling that communication and conversation. So that's one way. And then the A is acceptance. So MAPS, M-A. So acceptance is like telling her that she is loved, whether she's an introvert or an extrovert. It doesn't matter. you love her the same, and not making her feel bad for being different than you or feeling like there's something wrong with her, that she's not naturally socially wanting to be talkative all the time or whatever it is. So just really accepting her and saying that to her, like, honey, I love how much of a deep thinker you are. And I know you have such a big heart and you're such a great person. You work so hard at X, Y, and Z. I really would like to help you since you're going to be in this new setting, meet some new people. I know it's going to feel hard, it might feel awkward, or it might feel this or that. And not that we're trying to give them negative things they could feel, but maybe even asking them, like, how do you think it's going to feel in this new setting, or, you know, whatever. And they might say terrible, but you can just say, like, I'm here to support you. Like, what would be helpful? And they might say, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you can support me, and be like, well, I have some ideas. I listen to this podcast and I got some ideas. No, you don't have to say that. But yeah, so just accepting and knowing, like, her having boundaries about it too, like accepting her limits, knowing that, you know, it doesn't have to be a time where, like, she only has to do it a certain way, and she can set her own boundaries too. Like, Mom, I really want to talk about this, or Dad, I really want to talk about this, but can we come back to it another time? I just kind of need some space. You know, her being able to say what she needs in that way is really important, whether she's in a social setting or with you, and just being like, yeah, that's fine. You know, I'll come back later. We can talk about it another time. And then just following up with her and not letting her use that as an excuse, but also respecting that she can set a boundary too, and be like, Mom, I do want to talk about this. I feel kind of pressured right now. And I just need to think about it a little bit, especially if she's very introspective, where she likes to go inward first before she talks through something. Just knowing that about her is really important. And knowing even in a social situation, she could take breaks. And I'll touch on that in a little bit too, when we get to the S. So then the P in MAPS is positive reinforcement. So acknowledging the baby steps. Anytime that she is either applying something that you've suggested, or she comes up with her own way of doing something, that is really, really great. And some things that you can give her for ideas are, you know, just thinking of, like I said, in the modeling, how could you make an observation about something, like notice something about a friend. So I had a girl one time, or a potential friend, who was in Girls Positivity Club. And she was telling me about, she felt like she was an introvert, but she noticed the sticker that was on a girl's phone case. And it was of anime, an anime character that she knew, and she loved anime. And she was like, oh my gosh, I noticed that if this girl has an anime sticker, she probably likes anime. So she just mentioned it as an observation. I was like, hey, I noticed you had this, you know, whatever the name was, sticker. Do you like anime? And she's like, oh my gosh, I love it. And they had like a deep conversation about anime, the shows they watch, that they like to draw anime, all this stuff. And she's like, I feel like I met like a long lost friend today. And it's only because I noticed she had that sticker and I reached out to her. And that was a big deal for her, because she was very introverted. She felt so energized, because she's like, I found somebody who I know at least I can talk to her about this one thing. So the positive reinforcement would be like praising her for that. Like, oh my gosh. And I know that's a big example, but just even those little things, like even saying hi to a cashier or asking someone how their day is, those little positive reinforcements are so powerful. And then the S is supporting her growth. So again, I mentioned that example in the last, you know, what I just said, and then in the beginning, is like, how can we role play this? So what are some conversation starters that you can help her with? So it might be the observations. It might be, oh, this is such a cool park. You know, I love hanging out over here. I've ever climbed up this rock wall before. It's so fun. Like her saying something about the environment where they are. Or I love working with clay. I love creating sculptures if they're in a pottery class or something. Is this your first time, or do you like to do pottery? Like commenting on something that they're doing in that environment is another really simple one to do. And then complimenting is always simple too. It's like, oh, I love your shirt. I love that color. It's one of my favorite colors. Like a very simple compliment. It might end in, oh, thanks, mine too. And that's the end of it. But at least they're making that effort, and it's about praising her on those things. And knowing that it doesn't have to go perfectly. And then the S is support her growth in trying these new things. Again, complimenting her whenever she shares something she did. So not like having her report back like she has an assignment to do, but just maybe making some intentions for the week. Like, what do you think you could do socially that would help you feel good about your new school or about making new friends or make you feel connected with a small group of people? So maybe it's arranging a small hangout or a play date where she has one person over as she gets to know people, or two people, and not seeing that as a negative, like, oh my gosh, she only has one friend or she only has two friends. We have a saying in my family, one is better than none, you know, and especially with introverted and really shy people, they like to really go deep in relationships and have those one or two friends. And that's perfectly fine. And it doesn't have to look like every other person's. And especially, I think we can compare like our kids' friends who have all these, you know, they're very social. And it's like, oh, I wish my daughter was like that. I'm going to have them hang out more, but they may not be a good fit, you know? Sometimes introverts and extroverts are, because they complement each other. But again, just valuing her and who she is, and supporting her along the way. Another way to support her, not only with the role play or arranging those small and individual hangouts or play dates, is to use those neutral people, like I mentioned before. Go to settings where it's not high stakes. It's a cashier, it's a server, and let her practice bringing up conversation and getting to know how someone's day is. Something simple. Maybe it's a barista. It's very simple at Starbucks. And you modeled it to her and like, would you like to try just talking to the barista? And it may take a while to get up to that, but just, you know, showing her that it's good practice is really important. I had a girl who did this. Her mom encouraged her and I thought it was brilliant. It was a good way for her to just practice it in a low stakes environment rather than school, where she could feel rejected and feel more awkward and like leading up to that. And then she did transfer the, you know, trying it at school and things like that, which is good. It's just all about taking those baby steps and going at her pace. I think a lot of times we want our kids to go at a faster rate. And I think that's like in society, we want things to happen fast, but the good progress often takes time. And it's really just being there for her, having that conversation and check in about it, telling her you love her how she is, and you're there to support her, and having those good friendships, having those good, you know, ways to be in society and to be herself, but also know that she can be social and sometimes, and that it's also okay for her to pull back and want that alone time too, and to honor that as well. So I hope this was helpful. Please let me know what you think. If you have other ideas for shows, or if you have something that's worked with your daughter who's really shy or introverted, please let me know. And as always, thanks for being here. If you would love to give us a 5-star review, it would help more people see the podcast. And until next time, keep raising those confident girls. Thanks for joining another empowering episode of the Raising Confident Girls podcast. Share today's insights with caregivers and friends, building beautiful relationships with strong girls. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. We're not just a podcast, we're a community. Follow Girls Positivity Club on social media for more empowering content on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. This podcast empowers you, supporting incredible girls. Let's create strong, beautiful relationships with the girls in our lives. I appreciate you listening today. Stay confident, stay connected. Until next time, keep raising those confident girls. You've got this.